The talk I'm going to be very quick about, and I tried to cram in probably way too much, but we'll see where we get. And it's a little bit of data, and it's a little bit of maybe a position piece at the same time, but a lot of this gets around this issue of what we're talking about in health literacy, research, what does it mean, why is it important as a public health factor to consider. So, you know, on the non-data side, let me just walk through a little case vignette here of what we really think about when we talk about health literacy and why we care. And again, I will say, I do come from a medical school climate, so to speak, and we're also bridging to a school of education. But for the most part, we are, again, thinking about people oftentimes when they come into healthcare. So here's Dave. You know, he has husband, father, two children, employed full-time, commutes about 45 minutes a day, occasional travel, type 2 diabetes and hypertension, issues with his cholesterol, has a couple prescribers right now, a subspecialist and his primary care internist, takes around 5 prescription drugs daily, quarterly MD visits. He's overweight with a body mass index of 27, variable diet, variable activity, frequently misses his medications. You know, it's like, do you know Dave? A lot of people would say that this is a very common patient. You know, this is a reflecting of someone who is inconsistently controlled with their chronic disease, has no plan for improvement, he's not activated, not empowered, has inadequate knowledge about his conditions and how best he could probably improve upon his health. He has inadequate skills as well, you know, being able to find information, to problem solve, to figure out what does he do when he misses a dose of his medication. In all, this person, Dave, is overwhelmed. And this, is a little bit of a flavor of what we get at with health literacy research, is that a lot of what we're trying to get at is helping people have the skills to manage their health efficiently and effectively. And the business case for health literacy has wavered all over the place, trying to figure out how do you actually get at some of the numbers people have estimated to suggest that this problem that Dave has and many other Americans do is around a $200 billion problem that affects our healthcare system each year. And the way we think it happens is by people not having adequate or inaccurate knowledge of disease and their treatment, that they have poor self-care skills in taking their medications and monitoring their disease and using devices and the other things they need to do just to optimize their health. They also have inappropriate health services use, and this translates to non-adherence, costly urgent services with unscheduled visits, emergency room and hospitalizations, medication errors and adverse drug events, and poorer outcomes. And what we do know over the past, going into its third decade of research, is that health literacy is a skill set. That around 500 original research studies over the past 20 years have shown that health literacy is both as measured by a crude test of reading, numeracy, and health knowledge, has a major impact on health outcomes. But yet, we haven't been happy with that definition. We don't like to just call it that someone's level of proficiency for health is that, in fact, it's just their reading and numeracy and problem-solving ability. That we like to think about other things as well that make a difference in our healthcare, and that includes motivational factors and cultural factors, language issues and access, beliefs and experience. And that a lot of this is all reflective of a healthcare system. It's about your accessibility, the navigability, the communication, and the follow-up that happens within a healthcare system and the quality of healthcare that we provide. But it's also the community. It's the education and human services and policy, how we prepare people to be engaged in their personal health. So what is it? And I think a lot of your perspectives are going to be spoken about today, but really health literacy in some ways started out, according to the U.S., in the early stages of research that came out of schools of medicine, is that it's a requisite skill set an individual needs to function in the healthcare environment. But the World Health Organization has now defined it to be a little bit more than that. It's that requisite skill set plus one's personal activation or motivation to manage health. That's what the WHO definition expanded upon. Or is it less than an individual trait and more of a health system trait? Which is what a lot of people are very much interested in, that whatever the problem is, that the solution resides in the healthcare system. And I think we like to think that it's all of the above, that there is a discordance in our evidence base that despite these 500-plus studies and 2,600-plus citations, according to the National Library of Medicine, for this very, very large field that has grown very, very quickly, that the measures that we're saying right now is not the only thing that we'd like to consider in the context of this concept. And that health literacy, though, can be both a risk factor and an outcome. And that what we worry about is that the risk of undervaluing other factors beyond just, again, reading, numeracy, problem solving, and other things that are being measured by crude assessments that we continue to use in the fitness field. So a little quick divergence of what I was going to suggest in the research part of this presentation is that we have a large cohort study that we thought to examine exactly, basically deconstruct the impact of different factors like, again, crude measures of reading and numeracy that we've been using in this field, and also additional factors that reflect stuff beyond that, the mindset of one that one imparts to healthcare, like patient activation. And so we examined the association between patient activation and current gold standards of health literacy skills or literacy measures, and we evaluated the independent and combined contribution of each. Again, the goal here was to really understand, is it just about reading and numeracy? Is that maybe more powerful than how motivated and activated you are to engage in health? Or are they both equal partners in predicting our functional health status in this particular study? So here's a little bit of description about our LitCog study. Again, we have around 1,100 community-dwelling older adults, 55 to 74, recruited all from one academic general internal medicine practice and six federally qualified health centers. Two interviews are conducted 1 week apart, and we have full medical record access. Here's a quick snapshot of the data that we actually have in our study. So in a sample that was mostly older, female, nearly half African-American, diverse by socioeconomic status, and that being education, income, and employment, and also having relatively average health according to the SF36 measures, we showed that health literacy measures, whether it be by the rapid estimate of adult literacy in medicine, test of functional health literacy in adults, or newest vital sign, that they were all weakly correlated with measures of motivation, which we used in this case was the patient activation measure. And we also found that higher health literacy was linked to female gender, white race, less comorbidity, and higher activation also linked to white race, less comorbidity, and also older age. Correlations with health literacy and physical health were significant, as well as with patient activation measure. And in these models, we're looking at how much variance was explained by each of these measures, health literacy or patient activation. We showed that health literacy and PAM were associated with physical health, and combined impact was explained more than the variance in either outcome alone. So together, patient activation or motivation and health literacy combined were more predictive of functional health status than just using one tool or the other. The exact same results we found with measures of depression, where, again, the combined effect, the variance explained by both measures, were stronger than either alone. But yet, for anxiety, it was only really patient motivation that really predicted outcomes of anxiety symptoms as part of quality of life. So our quick snapshot, and I'm being very, very quick because I do not have a lot of time, is to really say that this was a way for us to start thinking about health literacy in a new light. And this is something that researchers in Australia and actually in Europe right now are already doing. They're trying to expand this definition, and at the same time, there's lots of things that we have to be cautious about. Quick limitations here that I won't really run through, but are in our study. Again, this was cross-sectional data, and the measurement issues, as you can imagine, are considerable, all crude measures that we're talking about. But if health literacy and patient activation are both important factors that contribute to health status, and this is not, this should not be a difficult concept to digest, I would imagine, that in some ways, of course, that a skill set and a mindset both would be contributors to health. And yet the way we've gone about it in health literacy research is quite narrow. We just think that if we gave people the proficiency to do something, that they'll do it. And so a lot of this research is just to kind of jumpstart us in thinking that we do need to, in this field, begin to expand what we think is actually driving health outcomes beyond just the skill set necessary to perform the tasks for self-care. And activation has the equivalent impact as functional literacy skills on outcomes, if not greater. So again, measures that we've been relying upon in all of these studies over years have oftentimes, shown great predictive validity, but at the same time, they're not, even the motivation factors are stronger, and the combined effect is the best. But then it gets to the question, is it appropriate to include activation or motivation in the definition of health literacy? And I think this is what a lot of people, especially in schools of public health, find great offense to, is that this new field has not recognized a great deal of the research that's happened in the past, and that has existed in health promotion, health behavior research, that of course we know a lot of these factors, but now we're trying to come up with more efficient measures, and it's not maybe right to place it inside the health literacy definition, but as a parallel field of its own. So we kind of propose two public health objectives. One, that in some cases, health literacy research is two things. It has two objectives. In one case, it's health literacy as an outcome, that we think of it as clear health communication. The new contribution of this field is that we are now focusing on how we communicate, how we express information to patients in a clear, understandable, and actionable manner. And promoting health literacy for all healthcare consumers is a goal, not just those with limited health literacy or low educational status. In addition, we're also looking at, you know, and as part of that goal, we're looking at helping to simplify all materials and tasks that we approach in the healthcare system. It's about focusing on us, on how we deliver health information both at the community level, from a hospital's perspective, from a clinic's perspective, from allied health, how we deliver our services to consumers in the most actionable manner that they don't get confused or find it incredibly illogical as they currently do. And how do we help engage them? How do we help them become involved in their healthcare and assume the roles and responsibilities of being a patient, engaging in self-care properly? Finally, you know, as a risk factor, health and healthcare equity, we do, though, have to recognize that over 500 studies, a large body of studies, have had a very clear signal to us that these crude measures of reading skills and numeracy skills and problem-solving skills and global cognitive function have a massive ability to predict health outcomes. And this is something that other fields have kind of appreciated about this research. And therefore, we have identified inadvertently a risk factor. And so we do need to understand how we can reduce literacy disparities in health, which might mean that we also need to measure it, and we also may need to screen for it, that there is a group that is of particular risk that a lot of the research that have been generated by the National Institutes of Health have been trying to have us figure out how to mitigate the differences. All right. I think I kept with my time.
You're doing wonderful.
Great. All right.
So you've got about a minute. So if you'd like.
Great. Well, I don't know if there's any quick questions. I actually have to run up to my flight in a few minutes, so I won't be able to stick around for the discussion at the end. But thank you.
Can you take one or two questions?
Sure.
Do we have a question for Dr. Wolf in relationship to the presentation? Because he does have to run.
I'm sorry, I ran through it so quickly. We measured health through PROM, the patient-reported outcomes measurement information system, so we had several of the PROMIS tools, for those of you who are familiar, in place. As also, we had SF-36 measures in place. So those were viewed as the outcomes. We are now doing this with prospective outcomes, with hospitalization, emergency department visits, and for those who have chronic diseases, we have lots of polls like hemoglobin A1C and blood pressure that we're actually starting to examine, and we're starting to see similar trends as well.